This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, September 14th, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. The 6th annual Ozark Mountain Artist Studio Tour is today through Sunday from 10 until 6. This self-guided tour presents a variety of photography, clay, sculpture, pottery, wood, silver jewelry, paintings, and more. Maps and more information available at ozarkmountainartist.com or at Neighbors Mill in Harrison.
Ahead on Ozarks, pigs. Giant pigs come to the aid of literacy, and Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com talks to Kyle about unemployment, tourism, and the possibility the GOP takes the Arkansas House and Senate.
Plus your chance to win tickets for the Sona concert Sunday and more. First, the Springdale School District will soon have a new building to house its professional development center. The district recently acquired the former Cannon Express building near the intersection of Highways 412 and 265 for a cost of $675,000. Assistant Superintendent Gary Compton says that the Professional Development Center, which provides professional training for the district's teachers, administrators, and classified staff, will move from its current building on Emma Avenue into the 12,000-square-foot Cannon building.
We've got a few things to do in the building to get it ready for people, and we're looking to, in the next several months, kind of begin our evaluation of what we need to do. And then, you know, if we're lucky, we might be ready. Our goal is by January to try and move those people out of our current professional development center into the new Cannon building.
Once the center's old building is vacated on Emma, the district will use the empty space to expand its alternative learning environment. Compton says that the ALE mostly serves high school students who've become credit deficient, have gone through personal issues, or otherwise need a type of learning environment that's different from the one offered at the district's two high schools.
One size does not fit all when you come to K-12 public education. And we always need to remember that. This is our way to offer different programming to students in the school district.
Compton says that the alternative learning programs have been successful, graduating nearly 100 students last year.
As we reported earlier in the week, the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville was ranked by U.S. News & World Reports to be among the top up-and-coming national public universities. The publication also included the Sam M. Walton College of Business in its rankings of the top public business schools in the country. This year, the Walton College was ranked 26th on the publication's annual rankings list. The college tied with six other schools, including Auburn, the University of Missouri, and the University of Tennessee. Among the top public and private undergraduate business schools in the country, the Walton College of Business tied for a 47th place ranking.
Negotiations about ambulance service in Benton County continue. County Judge Bob Kleinard says that the Quorum Court has decided to offer an amount to 8 service providers in the county for service in rural areas.
Last year we appropriated $100,000, and then this year $150,000, and next year they're going to discuss appropriating $300,000. And I've taken the $300,000 and apportioned it to the different providers and sent them a letter and email and asked them to consider this allocation for just 1 year, the year 2013. And so far I've gotten 4 out of 8 of them have given me a positive response, and 4 of them hadn't responded yet, so we'll see how that turns out.
The county subsidy offer has not been officially approved, but the judge says the Quorum Court is expected to discuss it again at budget meetings in October and November. In contrast, Fayetteville-based Central EMS services all areas in Washington County, with the exception of Springdale. The city of Springdale operates its own ambulance service.
The coming weekend will be the last of the season for the fountains at Lawrence Park in Bentonville. David Wright is the director of Bentonville's Parks and Recreation Department.
We'll turn the water off on Sunday night around 10 o'clock, and the fountains won't come back on Monday. And what we will do now is start preparing the facility for our ice rink that will open up in November.
Wright says from his observations, this season has been a successful one at the plaza.
Our numbers, and there's no way to really pinpoint and tell you exactly how many people use the facility, but I think I'm giving you a conservative figure when I'll tell you that our numbers have doubled from what people used it last year. And we thought last year was great, but you would go out there at a random time, 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and there'd be 200 people out there.
Wright says while weekends bring the heaviest traffic to the plaza, the number of people using the facility declines once school begins in the fall.
A previously closed area near Buffalo Point on the Buffalo National River will be open this weekend for archery deer hunting. According to a release issued this week by the National Park Service, the area within the park boundary and to the west of Buffalo Point Campground and north of Highway 14 has been closed to hunting for several years. But because of a noticeable increase in the deer population in the area, the Park Service has decided to open the area to deer and feral hogs. Hunting is limited to developed areas, and all Arkansas Game and Fish Commission regulations do apply.
Tonight, expect overcast conditions with a 40% chance of rain and thunderstorms and a low in the upper 50s in northwest Arkansas, and a 50% chance of rain with lows in the mid-60s in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, overcast conditions will continue with a 40% chance of thunderstorms and highs in the lower 70s in northwest Arkansas, and a 50% chance of rain in the Arkansas River Valley with a high near 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, expect overcast skies with a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the mid-50s in northwest Arkansas, and in the Arkansas River Valley, a 70% chance of rain and lows in the mid-60s.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. On the phone from Fort Smith with me is Michael Tilley. He's the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, news of all sorts for the entire KUIF listening area. Happy Friday to you, Mr. Tilley.
Good morning, Kyle.
I want to start off by, you have the Compass Report. There are many different ways that you track the economy on thecitywire.com. One of the more interesting one, if not necessarily the most scientific, is the bologna sandwich index, and you have an update on that.
Right, and that is from a gentleman named Ken Kupchick. He's a director for River Valley Food Bank in the Fort Smith area. And what he does is he uses employment data, but he also uses data from the St. John's Episcopal SAC lunch program here in Fort Smith. That's a mouthful. But he, and this is interesting, several years ago when he first pitched this, I thought he was full of baloney. But apparently he has a good correlation. He takes the number of sandwiches served at through the SAC lunch program and correlates that to what will happen next with the unemployment rate. And he's right about 70% of the time, which if you look at federal numbers, I mean, they're constantly revising those. It suggests that the next couple of months our employment rate will trend higher, and that's the last thing we need in this area.
New numbers are out for tourism in the Arkansas River Valley, especially Fort Smith and Van Buren. And while statewide numbers dipped a bit, the River Valley, they went up.
I always like talking about our tourism numbers, either West Arkansas or in Fort Smith, because it's just, it continues to be a consistent bright spot. And I know some folks think we in the media like reporting negative news, but that there's nothing further from the truth. It gets very depressing after a while. But in Fort Smith, collections were up 4.2% in July, and they were up 6.1%, excuse me, in Van Buren. So so far so good. And for the first 7 months of 2012, collections are up 7.5% in Fort Smith, and for the same period, they're up 6.6% in Van Buren. So that points to people still, either locals still willing to spend on restaurants and the business community and tourism community bringing more folks into the hotels in the area. So part of that was the Babe Ruth baseball tournament. There was a Cattlemen's Association meeting, this huge Jehovah's Witness convention that's brought in 15,000 to 20,000 people over the summer. Continues to be a bright spot in that Fort Smith regional economy.
There will be some people staying tonight in a downtown hotel in Fayetteville that has been shuttered for a bit. The Chancellor, it's been called the Hilton, it's been called the Cosmopolitan, now it's a Chancellor. It's opening on the eve of the biggest football game in Fayetteville. It's good news for downtown Fayetteville, though.
Right, well, it's great news, and Kyle, let's keep our fingers crossed on this one. That's been, I want to say, a jinxed property, but it's had a tough time making a go of it, but it appears that the new owners are doing it right. I think the last time they tried to revamp the Cosmopolitan, it was just a half effort.
Well, I think, and also then the economic crash happened in the middle of that plan.
Yes, and so just maybe a conversion of bad factors, but we've got a story. If anybody wants to look at the pictures of the preview event that was held Thursday night, we have those stories, that story and photos on the City Wire. But I've got high hopes for this, and you're right, this will help the downtown area. There hasn't been a good hotel with meeting rooms, a good restaurant, that type of thing, in that square in a long time. And this is definitely filling a niche. Now we'll just see how the market responds.
They did not respond to my suggestion that since it's called the Chancellor, the restaurant should be called the Provost. Perhaps that's a very good sign that they did not respond to that, I think.
Hey, you have a lot of good ideas, Kyle. That's not one of them.
Exactly. Finally, on the CityWire television show, which is on KXNW tomorrow morning at 8 and 6 a.m. on Channel 5 on Sunday morning, discussion about whether the GOP will, for the first time since Reconstruction, have control of the Arkansas legislature after the November elections.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is I've watched legislative cycles for a long time, and this is easily, by far, the most dynamic, because the Republicans could control one or both houses of the Arkansas legislature. And we interviewed Ted Thomas, and he's a GOP consultant, so let's keep that in mind. But their polling numbers, their history they've been on target. Whether you like their politics or not, they've been on target with their polling. And Ted Thomas was very confident in the interview that he thinks the Republicans have a good to take control of not only the Arkansas House but the Arkansas Senate. Arkansas GOP leaders have been fairly confident they'll take the House, but it's been iffy on the Senate. So Thomas made some news by saying he thinks they'll take both. So we'll see. November 6th will be interesting, and then if the Republicans have both control in both houses, that the dynamic between them and Governor Beebe will be very interesting.
As I mentioned, the City Wire is on television tomorrow morning at 8 on KXNWA, Sunday morning at 6 on KFSM. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Have a good weekend.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On tonight's program, I will feature music from trombonist Delfeo Marsalis. We'll also hear from Gretchen Parlato, Miguel Zenon, Luciana Souza, and Bobby Sanabria's Big Band. This and much more tonight at 10 on Shades of Jazz.
A new trend is catching on at a Fayetteville elementary school, the lost art of bicycle commuting. And to make the venture safer, bicycle enthusiasts are helping to organize parents and their children into bike trains. Ozark's at-large is Jacqueline Froelich, also a cycling enthusiast, joined the train to bring us their story.
7:15 on a Tuesday morning, and right on schedule, several children and a parent roll up on their bicycles near downtown Fayetteville. They are members of Washington Elementary School Historic District Bike Train.
My name is Anna, and I'm 9. I go to Washington School.
Hi, my name's Gage. I'm 11 years old. I go to Washington Elementary.
I like to ride the bike train every morning.
Hi, my name's Ruby Lane. Well, the best thing about this is you get to ride to school when you usually don't get to, and it really gets you ready for school.
I'm Mark Reef, and I teach at Fayetteville High School, and I'm the parent of Anna Reef. And I go with her on the bike train every now and then. I take up the rear. She's been riding her bike to school every day now because the bike train got her started. We couldn't get her to ride her bike to school before. I offered to ride with her, but the bike train made her want to go. And now she rides herself back and forth, even when there isn't a bike train.
And do you head out to high school after?
Yes. I just keep going. It's on the way. We have a number of kids from this neighborhood who actually ride their bikes to the high school from here. So it's a good neighborhood for bike riding. It's close to everything.
Mark says his family also cycles for fun, venturing on the city trail, easily pedaling long distances together. Organizer Laura Kelly is a mom of a grown child, but an avid cyclist. And as a member of the Bicycle Coalition of the Ozarks, she helped coordinate the bike trains at Washington Elementary.
We ride every Tuesday morning, so this Tuesday morning, I'm here to meet some of the kids from the Historic District neighborhood. And the train takes about 10 minutes, and all of the kids and some parents all ride together to the front of Washington Elementary. There we meet a couple other trains that are coming in from different directions.
Like the Southside train and the Mount Sequoia train. But it's time to depart. Laura Kelly takes the lead with Daddy Mark Reif riding last. The six of us head west on Maple, cutting over on Washington Avenue toward Lafayette. Along the way, the children chime their bells and point out various things, like a gray squirrel chaotically scrambling out of the way and a flock of sparrows roosting under an eave. It's really a lovely morning. But things get serious as we turn west onto Lafayette, congested with university car commuters. Although we pedal along a designated bike route emblazoned with decals, the cars are all in a hurry to get to class on time. Still, Laura Kelly guides the children, taking up the entire right lane of traffic as we wait for the red light to change on College Avenue. Bike trains rule the road and never the sidewalk. Sidewalks are for pedestrians only. We cross College and ride one more block to Washington Elementary. Dad Mark Reif pedals on to work while the little ones carry their bikes up the steps to ride them in circles on the playground, letting off steam before class.
I ride my bike, and I ride up here pretty hard up that hill.
In the meantime, two other bike trains arrive. First, the Southside train.
My name is Luna, and I'm in the bike train.
My name's Melissa, and I'm the mother of Luna, and she's sporting one of the BCO's bike train shirts. It's a big spoke and a wheel, which I think is very representative because the Bicycling Coalition of the Ozarks has done really a lot of huge things, but the main thing is giving us confidence to ride our bikes to school. That's been really important.
Because it's very trafficy out here.
It's very trafficy and hilly, and when we do it as a group, it just it makes it feel safe, and we don't get tempted to get on the sidewalks and stuff that we thought was safe, but it's really not safe.
What's the best thing about the bike train, Luna?
Riding the bike with Mommy.
From here, Mommy will pedal back downtown to her workplace. One final bike train arrives that comprises part of the Mount Sequoia train on a bicycle built for two.
My name is Luca and I am five.
My name is Sam and this is a trailer bike. It lets an adult ride with a little kid, and it's attached to the seat post, and we can both ride together.
School starting now, and Bicycle Coalition of the Ozarks organizer Laura Kelly takes a moment to provide a little history.
Well, we've been running the bike train to Washington Elementary just for 2 years now. Last year we started up, we had some startup help from General Mills. They have a community grant that they offered to us to get this program going, the idea being it was a pilot program that we could then share with other schools. I'm really excited about its potential in middle schools, especially because all those kids, half of these kids have had bike ed, but by middle school they've all had 3 years of bike education in elementary school.
Laura sought out interested parents at a bike train sign-up during school orientation. She also posts notices on a special bike train Facebook page. There you can find a map of three routes, including gathering and departure times. By far the longest route is Southside, about 25 city blocks, part of it on the city trail, thankfully. And it's a commitment families gladly take, Laura Kelly said.
There's a bike train pledge, but it's not really a fear-based program. We're operating as legally and safely as possible. And there are statistics to back us up that when a bicyclist behaves as a car, you're actually, some statistics even say safer than being a passenger in a car. So we feel really good about this, and we're definitely increasing the health and vitality of a lot of people by encouraging them to incorporate daily exercise into their lifestyle.
Children have become much more sedentary, data show. Lured indoors by cable and satellite television, computers, smartphones, and electronic tablets. So cultivating a healthy interest in outdoor cycling as kids may lead to a lifelong cycling habit. If you're a boomer, you're likely among the 88% of children who lived within a mile of school, so walked or biked to class.
And then that just started dropping off precipitously. We decided to design our cities and schools around auto access. And Yeah, it seemed like a good, convenient idea on the surface, and what it did was alienate especially the young and the old from the ability to move themselves around town. And now we think of transportation as an adult activity. You need mom to drive you to everything, to your friend's house, to the soccer game. So I guess the bike train is kind of a way of letting kids taste some adult responsibility and allow themselves to operate as they see their parents operating safely and legally and getting themselves from place to place.
And even schools are increasingly becoming more remote, with inner community schools closing. Take Jefferson Elementary, for example, and new ones being built on the outskirts. Plus, our streets are less friendly. More than 23,000 children were injured by vehicular traffic in 2010, walking or biking to school. Bike trains not only help families to reengage with an American tradition, but alert drivers that they are not the only commuters on the road. Washington Elementary bike train enrollment may be small, but the program is a pilot after all, and it takes commitment from grown-ups for it to grow.
Right now, as far as I know, it's just Washington Elementary, but we definitely intend to spread this idea to other schools. I know there are students cycling to schools all over Fayetteville, and I think a lot of them would appreciate a way to coordinate with the other kids in their neighborhood so they could ride together.
Washington Elementary Principal Ashley Garcia encourages the bike trains to and from her school, and she said it's catching on.
Well, I think that number, that it's been a small percentage, but I would say that percentage is definitely growing. This has been the first year that I have seen so many kids bike to school. In fact, we have added more bike racks to accommodate the bikes.
Principal Garcia said the bike trains are inspiring kids and parents to have fun together. That's the bottom line. And the Bicycle Coalition of the Ozarks Bike Train Initiative is part of the National Safe Routes to School program, which encourages walking and cycling in local communities. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you'd like to know more about bicycle programs at local schools, you can go to the website of the Bicycle Coalition of the Ozarks. That's BCONWA.com.
In a sign that perhaps the Obama-Biden ticket is getting cocky, Joe Biden sat down and gave a neck massage to a hot biker chick. He says it was just casual, but later on he got her face tattooed on his neck and wants everyone to call him the Vice Lord President. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for an Outlaw News Quiz from NPR.
Wait, don't tell me. Sundays at noon here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. It's Friday, September 14th. 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us is Becca Martin Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Okay, I'm going to issue a disclaimer. I love the Razorbacks.
Who doesn't?
During basketball season, I bleed Razorback red. Mm. I've also almost been evicted from the Bud Walton Arena.
I see a bandwagon with one fewer person. That's where this is headed.
But I'm going to suggest that if you want a sure bet for entertainment this weekend, I've got a list of live theater I'm going to suggest.
Okay.
Three of them are brand new. One of them's a brand new script.
Okay.
Murder on the Square. This is a new undertaking by a troupe called Tableside Theater. And it is an original script by Bentonville playwright Jennifer McClory, actually Bentonville novelist turned playwright for this. It's a murder mystery. The troupe founder is Pam Marks, who's done a bunch of community theater around Northwest Arkansas, and she thought it would be nice if a troupe specialized in doing murder mystery with food. So they're going to do this at 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night at Tavola Trattoria on the Bentonville Square.
Fun.
The script is about a theater troupe that's fighting to save its production space until the star of the troupe, who happens to be the developer's son, turns up dead. Tickets are $45. The menu sounds delightful, and you can make reservations at 381-5149.
Tonight and tomorrow night.
Also new this weekend, Rogers Little Theater's production of Oliver.
Complete with exclamation point.
Complete with exclamation point. 26 adults and children, about half of them newcomers to the stage.
Oh,
so
wow.
Ed McClure needs an exclamation point.
Oh, bless his heart.
And, of course, you know, songs like I'd Do Anything, Where Is Love, Consider Yourself. Adorable kids. The pictures are adorable.
Will they have Cockney accents?
One assumes they will.
Excellent.
I wish I could do one. I would. But I can't. So I'll tell you, showtime is 8 o'clock today and tomorrow and 2 o'clock Sunday. And tickets start at $16. Mm-hmm. Also new this weekend, the Hallelujah Girls.
Fort Smith Little Theater.
Sounds to me a lot like Steel Magnolias with different characters. Set at the Spotty Da, which is a church turned
salon.
And all the clients have their problems, and, you know, it's up to the stylist at the Spotty Da to fix it. So.
Is there music?
I don't think so.
Oh, because you hear Hallelujah.
Yeah. And you would think.
No,
yeah.
Think it's straight up theater.
Okay.
Showtime is 8 o'clock today and tomorrow and 2:30 on Sunday, and tickets are $10 at 783-2966. Last weekend for the Queen of Bingo.
Right.
At the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale, Ann Ayers and Robbie Elliott, two veteran ACO actresses. It's a comedy that makes me think of Greater Tuna.
Mm-hmm.
It's two characters, two sisters who love to play bingo.
Bit eccentric.
So is
Bit
it only eccentric. A two-person show?
There's a caller, but you don't see him.
Oh, fun.
So it is a two-woman show.
Okay.
And it's only two characters, but I suspect the wackiness lives up to Greater Tuna. And you get to play bingo before intermission, and you get a turkey if you win.
Can't beat that.
7:30 today and tomorrow, last two performances, and tickets start at $16. Now, it is not the last weekend for Noises Off, but the show is starting to sell out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
We thought this would happen.
We did. Theater Squared's comedy, I can't tell you anything but go. It's a play within a play about a troupe that's going on tour with a comedy called Nothing On. And things begin very quickly to go badly in lots of hilarious ways.
And if you're going to go, you need to go because they can't extend the run like they have in the past.
Right. It has next weekend is it.
Yes, because after that, it's Spikes, Blues, and Barbecue.
And you wouldn't
and
be able to hear what was going on.
You cannot get in there, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and you can't
park. Get into the space,
right.
Yeah.
And I just talked to director Morgan Hicks today because I'm going back for round two this weekend. And she says she's adding new things as the show goes along. So think you've seen it, even if you've seen it. Tickets start at $24 at 443-5600. That's Theater Squared's Noises Off at the Nadine Baum Studios. A couple of other things you don't want to miss. The Banff Film Festival World Tour is here tonight, but it is sold out. So you can go to FayettevilleBanff.com and look for someone to grovel to or wait outside or scalp tickets. There must be a way. Donnie Edwards is doing a tribute to Elvis performance at 7 o'clock Saturday night at the Van Buren Fine Arts Center. Wayne King will open the show as Roy Orbison. Donnie Edwards is one of the current great Elvis tribute artists. We don't call them impersonators anymore. $25 at 281-713-8140. And the Blue Man Group is opening the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith season of entertainment at 7:30 tomorrow and 2:30 Sunday. Tickets start at $52.
Marshmallows. They'll have marshmallows with them, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and marshmallows to all of you.
There you go.
Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Carrie McCrite appears to be a wonderful travel companion. She knows the ins and outs of Arkansas through her work with the Arkansas Department of Tourism, and she's smart as a whip. One problem, trouble finds her, or she finds it. Carrie is the protagonist in the To Die For Mysteries, mostly set in the Ozarks, and written by Raedeen Trees-Naring. The seventh book in the series, A Fair to Die For, is out, and it's set at the War Eagle Craft Fair, and that's bad news for Carrie. She's kidnapped against a backdrop that includes a mysterious, previously unknown cousin. Raedeen Trees-Naring has used other familiar backdrops for Carrie's sleuthing, Hot Springs, the Buffalo National River, and the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs included. She says she's been conjuring up a War Eagle mystery for some time.
Yes, and I do with each novel that I write. I go to the location, I have to be there, and see what I feel. I find out about the history, what's gone on there through the years, and then if it doesn't say story or mystery or something related to me, I pass on to something else.
Raedeen has been a regular visitor to the War Eagle Craft Fair for years, since even before she moved to Benton County in the 1980s from Oklahoma. In her new book, she captures the essence of the vendors, the food, and the crafts. But she says to make sure she had all the details correct, she called on craft fair insiders to help with parts of the annual event she hadn't observed.
The judging process and how, well, for example, after the fair, what's the procedure? What do the vendors do? And so Dana explained that, what they have to do to check out And also the stuff leading up to the fair, what goes on. When do the people come and set up their booths? What's the atmosphere like? How long does that go on? And all of that. And of course, I hadn't been there. I just went for the fair itself. So there's an awful lot of background year-round that goes on to support this. And of course, the result is a beautifully organized fair. So it definitely pays well for people going there because everything's going smoothly.
The action in the latest To Die For novel also takes place in Hobbs State Park. Using real places, locations so many of her local fans know so well, means Raideen's descriptions are scrutinized carefully. She knows she has to be much more precise if she uses the real excursion train from Springdale to Van Buren rather than a slightly fictionalized version based on the real thing.
It's difficult, and I admit that. And I sort of fell into this, but I am in love with Arkansas. That's why I live here. I had a choice, but we moved here. I like the real things. I want to do them justice.
She did use fictionalized places in her first book in the series, a tale that took a small bit of inspiration from a quarry controversy in the Ozarks. But her second was set at the Ozark Folk Center in Mountain View, and she's kept it real ever since, unless a business needs to be blown up to advance the story. Bad things happen to imagined stores. All along the way, readers have grown to know Carrie very well, how she suddenly, at a mature age, was widowed and her life forever altered. Since, she's met Henry, a retired Kansas City police detective who became her husband in the book A Wedding to Die For, set at the Crescent Hotel, a wedding that was interrupted by, what else, murder. For a region with low crime, Carrie does manage to be around ne'er-do-wells pretty often, something akin to what fans of the TV show Murder, She Wrote called the Cabot Cove problem. Many deaths in a small town.
But who cares? It's fiction.
Fans of this series, of any such series, are drawn in by the mystery, of course, but by also the characters. Raideen Trees-Nehring says she wants to provide entertainment.
All writers do, I suppose, in some sense, but there's also an element of knowledge and learning that I expect to convey. Carrie's been a help to me at times, going back to what she said or did that I remember. I created her because I wanted to write about a strong woman struggling to really find herself. After all, a woman who is perhaps beyond or in retirement years, who has just lost her husband, her life is changing. You talk about teenagers finding themselves, what's she doing? So I felt like, and in my own thought, I thought Carrie is finding herself in the first book in the series. And she progresses to where she's able to accept another man in her life. She first was so proud of her newfound independence, she didn't want anything to do with marriage. But she and Henry become very good friends in the series, and things just progress.
The mysteries Carrie McCride ends up solving also bring visitors to the Ozarks. Raideen says she's met people making their first ever trip to the region after reading her books, curious about those, to some, exotic Ozark mountains. That promise of immortality has led some, well, okay, many suggestions of where to put the next adventure.
I finally acquiesced and did a short story set at the National Historic Site in Fort Smith, but I couldn't make it into a whole book. I have written short stories places like Pea Ridge National Military Park, and they've all been published. But some places I just can't feel a whole story.
Raideen Trees-Nehring's latest novel is A Fair to Die For. She'll discuss the book Sunday afternoon at 1 at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. She'll also be at the War Eagle Craft Fair, safe and sound, all 4 days this year. She lives near Gravette. For other events and more information about Raideen, you can go to raideensbooks.com.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we preview the 27th annual King Biscuit Blues Festival that happens in Helena, Arkansas, October 4th through the 6th. Headliners Bobby Rush, Taj Mahal, and Bonnie Raitt. And that just scratches the surface. Check out KingBiscuitBluesFestival.com. That's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
Hi, it's Matt Grajeda.
And whenever Rhonda Dillard is in the studio, it's good news for somebody.
We hope so.
Because you're kind of like Santa Claus.
Well, I love that. I like being known as Santa Claus. A little thinner,
yes.
Not quite as white,
yes.
However like Santa.
Yes. And you're giving away today.
We are. We have had probably last 3 or 4 weeks the KUF website ticket giveaway, and this time it is a set of tickets to the Walton Arts Center 10x10 Art Series, and it's 2 tickets to all the performances of the 10x10, so it's really, really terrific, and we can't thank the Walton Arts Center enough for those.
Most tickets to these are $10. There are actually, I think, 11 events this year
I
in the 10x10 series. And it begins September 20th.
Yeah, with Plena Libre. It's a Puerto Rican-based ensemble of musicians.
So, okay.
And there'll be lots of other things. There's LA Theater Works will do Pride and Prejudice, and Circa is an Australian circus.
Right.
There's all sorts of different things, a little bit of something for everybody.
All the way into June with Artisphere.
Right.
The Artisphere Orchestra's first performance is part of it.
Yes.
So
it's terrific. It's very exciting and a great gift.
11 date nights.
I know. How about that?
Yeah. Who's our winner?
And our winner, drum roll, please. Yes, thank you very much. And our winner is Dane Myers from Rogers. Dane Myers from Rogers from Northwest Arkansas Foot Clinic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very good.
Congratulations, Dane. We appreciate it.
Congratulations.
If you didn't win, you still have a chance to register for the Yonder Mountain String Festival passes.
Harvest Fest. That is correct. And it's a 2 armbands for the entire weekend plus camping. So
that's
terrific,
a great deal.
Too. Oh, there's so many things going on each and every day. Yoga classes and, you know, fiddling contest and tons of stuff for all ages.
And we'll give that away on Ozarks.
Next Friday.
I believe next Friday.
Correct. And later today, your chance to win tickets to SONA on Sunday.
Yes. So if you didn't win now, no worries. Just hang in there and we'll have a trivia question for you later.
There you go. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, guys.
A week from tonight, Gretchen Parlato and her band will launch the 2012-2013 Jazz Series at Walton Arts Center. Over the next several months, 5 performers will play 10 shows inside the intimate Star Theater. We know that the best guide for us to get ready for this season is Robert Ginsberg, the host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz every Friday night at 10.
It's an exciting series this year, and you know they've packaged it as well. It's worth mentioning. You can actually go to all 5 of the concerts this year in Star Theater, which is a great venue. And if you go to the late show and you get general admission, all 5 tickets total $45. So you're talking about $9 a concert.
that's the 9 o'clock show. That's which I would prefer to go to anyway.
Well, you know, we keep moving the second show forward because that late night crowd has not been that great for jazz. So now it's the first show's at 7, the second show's at 9. And it's an incredible series. These are, you know, top shelf artists that are touring the world, starting with Gretchen Parlato. And she'll be here with her trio, Taylor Eigsti on piano, a great pianist. And he's a leader in his own right as well. Gretchen was here once before several years ago with Edward Simon's group, Affinidad, which that concert in Star Theater actually got broadcast nationally. We recorded it, and it was on Jazz Set with Dee Dee Bridgewater. She's a really wonderful vocalist and very unique style and sound. You hear one note from Gretchen Parlato, and you know it's her.
If it makes me cry, I still even if I don't know why, I still love. Even when things fall apart, I still love.
All the concerts this year have 7 and 9. The first couple are Friday nights. The next 3 are Saturday nights.
Exactly.
Always on the weekend. Jane Bunnett.
Jane Bunnett. B-U-N-N-E-T-T.
Is the next. That's early November, Friday, November 9th. And a different sort. We're moving along the line here.
We really are. We had to go north to go south.
Jane right.
Bunnett is a Canadian multi-reed player. She plays flute and saxophones, mostly soprano. But she has had a love affair with the music of Cuba forever and ever and has spent a lot of time in Cuba. And most of her recordings have been in a Cuban idiom. She's double billing, actually triple billing this. Jane will be with one of the great Cuban pianists who is currently living in Canada. His name is Hilario Duran, and their special guest is the legendary Candido. you know, how these guys are who are so famous that they just go one by
name.
One name. Candido de Guerra Camero. Candido was born in 1921, Kyle, and he's still touring. And he's a Cuban-born percussionist, mainly conga and bongos. Early in his career, he recorded in Cuba with fellow musicians like Machito. He moved to New York in 1952. He recorded with Dizzy Gillespie. This guy is a legend, and he's still great. I've seen some YouTube videos. He's still got it. So Jane Bunnett on flute and soprano sax, Hilario Duran on piano, Candido on percussion, an amazing concert of Cuban jazz.
That cut we just heard, Candido is not on.
That's,
we should point out.
That's right.
But that is Hilario on the...
Hilario and Jane are on that, and Candido will be playing percussion with him.
Sean Jones Quartet will be the first Saturday, the first day of December, December 1st. This is straight ahead stuff.
You got it exactly, Kyle. Sean is one of the great young trumpeters today. He leads his own group. He has four recordings out on, I believe, on Max Jazz. But he's also toured extensively. He had a Grammy Award-winning CD that he did with Nancy Wilson. And he was the lead trumpeter with the Lincoln Jazz Orchestra alongside Wynton Marsalis. And interestingly enough, I just recently spoke to Delfeo Marsalis in an interview, Wynton's younger brother.
Who will be in Eureka Springs.
Yeah, he'll be in Eureka Springs on the 22nd of September. Delfeo was, and Sean is going to be with his band as well. Delfeo was saying he won't tour with a trumpet player. And it used to be that he wouldn't tour with a trumpet player unless it was Wynton, but now Sean Jones is the man. It'll be December the 1st, 2012, and he'll have a great quartet with him, like you say, straight ahead.
On Saturday, February 16th, the Grace Kelly Quintet. Grace Kelly is a veteran in the music business, and she's 20.
I know. How does that happen?
Right? Her first CD was at 15.
Right.
With her latest one was with Phil Woods, but she did one with...
you know, it might have been with Phil Woods.
No, it was with
Lee Konitz?
With Lee Konitz.
Okay, that escaped
me. At 15.
Yeah, she's one of those child phenomenas. A virtuoso, and as you say, she's already performed in over 500 concerts in very prominent venues, so she's making her way. She's been at the Montreal Jazz Festival, Newport, Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, and now in Star Theater at the Walton Arts Center with her group. And she's right out of the tradition. I mean, you know, there's really not a musician, certainly not a jazz musician, who has not been influenced in some way by Charlie Parker. Mm-hmm. She's an alto saxophonist, so certainly she's coming out of that pantheon of great saxophonists, and particularly Charlie Parker. But she's got her own sound. And, you know, young, energetic, it should be a really swinging, fun concert.
Grace Kelly Quintet. That's in February. The jazz series will conclude on a Saturday in March, March 16th.
Right. And this is it's really an eclectic series, I realize, as we're speaking here. Grégoire Marais is a Swiss-born virtuoso jazz harmonica player. And one of my dreams...
Oh, no, not another one of those.
Yeah, another one of those, Kyle. It, you know, it's been on my short list of people that I would love to see, to have Toots Thielemans here, the Belgian harmonica player, whistler, guitar player. And he's up in his 90s as well. That hasn't occurred yet, but Grégoire Marais is sort of the heir apparent to that great tradition of jazz harmonica players. There's not that many of them when you think of people like, as I say, Toots Thielemans and Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. Grégoire has made his mark already. He's toured and or recorded with, and talk about eclectic, here's a list, a short list of some of the people he's worked with. Pete Seeger, George Benson, Cassandra Wilson, toured with Pat Metheny and Herbie Hancock, very sought after cat. He's leading his own group, and it kind of embodies a lot of the elements of the people I just mentioned. You kind of hear that Pat Metheny thing, but you can hear a straight ahead Herbie Hancock sort of thing. It'll be very exciting. And there's nothing like a jazz harmonica, just the sound of the harmonica. It's in some ways reminiscent of an accordion, mm-hmm. which has taken a lot of blows in the world of music.
Oh, but it shouldn't.
I love
if,
it.
If you hear it played properly or...
Right,
you know.
But it's air passing through reeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Gregoire has a great sound.
You can learn more about the jazz series at waltonartcenter.org. Robert Ginsberg is the host of Shades of Jazz, heard tonight and each Friday night beginning at 10 on KUAF 91.3 FM. Sunday afternoon, another season opens. SONA.
Yes.
Symphony of Northwest Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
We have some tickets.
We do. But you got to know the answer to a trivia question.
And that question is, it was on this date in the 19th century. I don't have the year in front of me.
That's fine.
That the poem In Defense of Fort McHenry was written.
Mm-hmm.
That turned into what song?
If you know or you have a guess, give us a call at 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF.
There's a giant pig in front of Walton Arts Center. There are giant pigs all over the place. There's one just off the Fayetteville Square as well.
Does this have to do with trivia? No.
No.
Okay.
No. This has nothing to do with trivia.
Okay.
It's just that... You know why the giant pigs are around.
I do know why the giant pigs are around. It's part of Ozark Literacy Council's Pig Exhibition Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these 6-foot pigs, statues, that artists submit designs, and then somebody could sponsor the pig, and the artists would paint it, and they're sticking it in just different places throughout the area. And it's to raise awareness about literacy. Yesterday, the 7th pig... There's going to be 25 total, mm-hmm. was installed at the Walton Arts Center in the Rose Garden. It was sponsored by the Willard and Pat Walker Charitable Foundation. And the artist was Margot Rebecca Moulton. And she's the art director at KNWA and KFTA, the NBC and Fox station here in Fayetteville on the Square. And I mentioned this because that was part of the inspiration for her pig. Her pig is different shades of blue. And then there are peacock feathers on mm-hmm, the back of it. Mm-hmm. Well, she was inspired because NBC, the logo is a peacock.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So that's how she did that. And so I went to the installation yesterday, and I talked to her for a little bit. And the first thing I asked her was how she found out about the project.
A girl that I work with, Sarah Gilmer, told me about it. And she said, you know, this would be a really great community project to get involved in. And I didn't really know what I was doing at first. I think I thought they were going to wrap them the way they wrap cars. So I came up with this really intricate design with feathers. And when they told me that the Walker Charitable Foundation had picked my design, I was really excited. Oh, that's great. And they said, and now you get to paint it. And I was like, okay. You know, and then when I saw the pig and saw that it was 6 feet tall, you know, I think my heart stopped for a moment. But then I was like, well, this is a challenge. You know, this will be a great challenge for me. And, you know, it's not canvas, but I wanted to take it as seriously as possible, especially when I found out it was going in front of the Walton Arts Center. You know, no pressure. So, I took it as seriously as any other art project I would do. And spent a month with a pig in my garage, and I actually cried when they took it away, which I thought I was crazy for. But, you know, you get attached to it. I named her and everything. Her name is Sweet Pea. So, but I'm really excited. It's been a really, really good experience, and getting to know about the Literacy Council, which I really didn't know that much about, and what they do. And it's a really great project for everybody, so I'm really excited to be involved.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm the kind of person that I spend a lot of time with something, even an inanimate object. My car has a name, my iPod has a name, my iPhone has a name. So I named the pig, you know. I mean, I spent super quality time for 4 weeks, and it actually was a name my uncle gave me when I was a baby, and then it just, I don't know, I guess it was in the back of my head, and I was like, Sweet Pea, she's going to have a name, because we're going to be best friends for a while.
I'm Clarice Goodwin, and I'm the co-chair of the Pigsibition Committee at Ozark Literacy Council. Today we are installing Sweet Pea, which is the Walker Foundation's sponsored pig at the Walton Art Center in the Rose Garden, and she is a beautiful pig, and we love being able to see her installed where she's supposed to be, in the sunlight. Pigsibition is a community art project sponsored by the Ozark Literacy Council and the Fayetteville AMP. What we're doing is trying to both draw attention to literacy issues in the state of Arkansas as well as help support our local artist community. And this just seemed like a great way to do both. There is a plaque that's installed on every pig that tells them that it's an Ozark Literacy project. It tells them who the sponsor is and who the artist is. And then hopefully they'll get interested and they'll come onto the website and check us out. It was a really big undertaking, and we have learned a lot. I think it would be fun to do it again, but I don't think it's something that you'd want to do too often. You don't want people to, you know, get bored with it. So, you know, every several years, I think it'd be a really great, fun thing to do.
So, want to come the same time? Oh, sure. Let's see. At least one other person.
Okay. Yeah. We got there's some pretty serious glare coming off that hose. The pig's nose.
A giant 6-foot pig being installed yesterday at Walton Art Center on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, the 7th of 25, you say?
Yep, 7th of 25. If you want to know more about the artist, she has a blog that shows you kind of the
evolution
of the pig from just blank slate to painted piece that you see now at the Walton Art Center. It's margo-moulton.tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn more about Ozark Literacy's Pigsibition, you can go to pigsibition.org.
And eventually, you'll have the option to own one of these giant decorated pigs.
Yes, they're having the piggies go to market, as they call it, in March.
Yes. Oh, we asked a question.
We did. We asked a trivia question before listening to the Pigsibition story.
And the question was this date in history when the defense of Fort McHenry. The poem was written. I said, what song did it turn into?
Star-Spangled Banner.
Yes, Francis Scott Key wrote the words, borrowed the tune. Boom.
There you go.
Do you remember what city this was written in?
Philadelphia.
Baltimore.
Of course not.
I've been to the place where he was imprisoned.
Oh, really?
Yes,
okay.
As he wrote it.
And we'll put the names of the people who called him with the correct answer into the ceramic cow and draw a couple of winners. And we will give you guys a call in just a couple of minutes. And the tickets will be at will call, so you don't have to come pick them up.
Right. So just show up Sunday. And get your tickets. KUAF is supported by Clubhouse Fitness and Health Club, offering a 3-day introductory pass, which includes TRX, Fit Challenge, and Zumba classes. Located on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, parking passes are included. Club, HAUSFitness.com for more information.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Sweet Home.
Sweet Home. Mm-hmm. Aha.
One word.
Sweet Home. And that is where?
It's near Mount Ida.
And I'm going to guess that you pick Sweet Home because tomorrow we play the Crimson Tide?
No, actually, but that works.
See, I was thinking the Skynyrd song.
Yeah, I know. But no.
Okay.
No.
Just like the name of it.
Yeah, I liked Sweet, as in like Sweet Pea. I was inspired by the name of the pig.
I see.
But it also works for that too. So however you want to take that.
Multifaceted. Mount Ida, the birthplace of?
I forget every time you ask me.
Grandpa Jones.
Yes. I don't know who that is.
He was a folk musician, singer, who was very popular in the 60s, 70s, I believe, and he was on Hee Haw as well. Ozarks. Yes. Ozarks at Large is a production. If only I knew how to change my oil, but I know all these other things.
Yeah, I know.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Thomas and I will be Sunday morning at 9 o'clock with you for Weekend Ozarks at Large. You and I back together on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be alone on Monday.
You will be.
Okay.
I think you can handle it.
I think I can.